What are you doing? Welcome to Right Start with Jim Custer, teaching pastor of Grace Polaris Church in Columbus, Ohio. Wow, that's an open question, isn't it? What are you doing? As you're working or studying or enjoying retirement, what are you after? Whose kingdom are you building? Our thoughts can get very cloudy about this matter as we rattle around in our everyday routines. But Jesus was clear-minded. From the age of 12, if not earlier, he knew his purpose. Jim hopes to make our purpose just as clear with his message, Investing in the Family Business. Here's part one.
You brought your Bibles with you this morning, I trust. Open them to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. Our reading begins at verse 41. This morning we begin our fall series of messages on the special works that Jesus did, the signs and miracles, those unique experiences that he had, which give us absolute confidence that Jesus is God, that he is not just a good teacher, not just a fine man, but he is God in the flesh. When you turn to the study of the life of the Lord Jesus, the first thing that grabs you is the disproportionate focus. Jesus lived 30 years, 30 years in basic silence. We know nothing, absolutely nothing about his daily routines and activities for those 30 years, with the exception of the passage we're looking at this morning. And then he is baptized, and we'll look at that next week. And he bursts into the public eye with a rapid-fire set of miraculous words and deeds. The miracles then trail off during the last year of his earthly public ministry, and he dies on the cross. The last thing he said before his death was, "It is finished." The first thing he said, of which we have record, the first thing he said is contained in this passage before us. Let me say it another way. Jesus, God in human flesh, lived 30 years in silence. No miracles, no sermons, and the only statement we have that gives us a read on what's taking place in his heart is the passage before us. The passage describes the experience Jesus had when he was 12 years old. His mother and father took him with them as they went from Nazareth in Galilee down to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. There would have been many people making that pilgrimage. We are not told anything of Jesus' impressions. We're not told of any of Mary and Joseph's impressions. The singular thing that grabbed the historian Luke's attention as he interviewed, probably Mary, was the statement Jesus made as a 12-year-old boy in the temple at that Passover feast. The story is very simple. They went to Jerusalem. They left Jerusalem, mom and dad did, assuming each that Jesus must have been with the other or with relatives and friends as they went one day's journey back toward Nazareth, then discovered that Jesus was not there. So they returned to Jerusalem, and at the end of 3 days of separation, they find Jesus in the temple discussing questions and answers regarding the law of God and its application to life on this earth. And all the people who were hearing Jesus, this 12-year-old boy, interact with these questions with the scribes and teachers were astonished at the insight and clarity of his understanding. Mary and Joseph interrupt that scene, and Mary, being a mom, impulsively said, "Son, do you know what you put us through?" Isn't that the typical parental response? I mean, they left him, and yet he's the one who's putting them through this. That's typical parent's response. And at 12 years of age, I'm glad that we have this record, because that's when kids begin to distance themselves from the smothering, responsible authority of their parents and begin to develop their own unique personalities and their values and begin to claim for themselves what they're going to believe and how they're going to behave. 12, 13, 14, that's when all that begins. And you see a bit of that here in the Lord Jesus. At age 13, Jesus would normally have experienced the bar mitzvah, where he would have gone through a formal structured service at the local synagogue and been inducted into a formal standing as a member of the Jewish community responsible for his own decisions and actions. Able to read in the Jewish synagogue service from the law, and able to enter into the debate, the discussion, as to how God's law should be applied to life. All these things are taking place in the family of Mary and Joseph and Jesus. And it's Jesus' response to his mother's insinuation that he had put them to grief that stands as the singular statement, the only insight we have into what's happening in the heart and life of this young man who was conceived miraculously in the womb of his mother while she was still a virgin, whose birth was announced by angels and shepherds came to worship, whose birth launched a star that caused the Magi to travel from over in the area of Babylon all the way to Bethlehem to worship him with gifts and prayers. How much of that did Jesus know? None, unless Mary and Joseph chose to tell him about it. So what was happening in this boy's heart? Here it is. In Luke chapter 2, verse 49, Jesus breaks the silence at 12 years of age and says to his parents, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know?" Has it not registered yet that I am more than your son? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? And they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. I must be about my father's business. He's obviously not referring to Joseph's craft of carpentry. He is obviously referring to a relationship with another father, his true father. In his case, his only father, his heavenly father. But this moment of recognition for the Lord Jesus gives us great instruction. It calls each of us to the same truth. That while my earthly father's name is Lee, and my earthly mother's name is Mary, and each of you can fill in the blanks for yourself, my birth was no accident, and my being here is not incidental. I have been called into existence by a God who framed me in my mother's womb, chose all the characteristics that mark me and distinguish me from others. And before he put the first apparatus together that formed the foundation of my unique DNA, he had a plan, a purpose, a direction, a goal, and a future in mind for me. And the same thing is true for you, and you, and you, and you. The sad thing is, the majority of people coming into the world never come to that moment of recognition that their true identity and their true relationship and their true parentage is not human. You belong to God more than you belong to your parents. And it is to God you owe the credit for your being. And he is the one who takes the responsibility for the uniqueness that makes you, you. Mom and Dad had little or nothing to do with those choices. Jesus in the temple recognizes that he is the son of his heavenly father. Have you ever in your lifetime recognized that call and claim of the Creator upon your heart and life? That he is Father, Source, and he had a plan in mind for you before you were ever conceived in your mother's human womb. Would you do yourself a favor right now, this morning? Would you allow the Spirit of God to give you, perhaps for the first time, a full understanding of your parentage? Now, if you cannot point to a time in your life, a specific time, when you asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart and life and to give you God's eternal salvation. If you can't point to that time, if you can't remember those circumstances, if you can't see that specific decision in your memory, then you are still far from the Heavenly Father. The Bible tells us that while God engineers and designs us, we are born into this world into a condition of sin, and we quite naturally sin. The Bible tells us that God went to great lengths through the death of Jesus Christ on the cross at Calvary to forgive us of our sins, and through his resurrection, to impart to those who will receive him, God the Holy Spirit, so that we could have the nature of our Heavenly Father inside of us. And until you have made that commitment and experienced that transformation, the Bible says you are still under the tutorage of a foster father whose name is Satan. And you're choosing to give him enormous control over your thoughts and processes and decisions. And in fact, you are helpless to separate yourself from his energy and his control and his deceptive practices. But God has made it possible through the expression of his love and his grace for each of us to become children of God, truly sons of God, restored to the Creator's will and indwelt by the Creator's Spirit. Close your eyes, would you, for just a moment, everyone? Just close your eyes. Block out everything but my voice for these next 60 seconds. Think back. When did you, what was the date, what was the time, what was the circumstances where you, for yourself, out of your own personal desire, asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart, to forgive you of your sins, and to be your Savior? Have you ever made that decision? It's easy to grow up sometimes learning the vocabulary of the Christian, aping the habits, and never have been transformed, never have been born again. Do you know for certain that you have been saved from your sins? If you know for certain that you've been saved, that you have made that commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, then right now ask God to make real to you an understanding of that relationship you now have with God as your Heavenly Father. Ask God to show you that that is more important than your relationship with your mom and dad, your sons and daughters, your aunts, your uncles, your boss, your cousins, your co-workers, your neighbors. No other relationship that you have even begins to be as important as that relationship with God as your Heavenly Father. Got it? Okay, now look up at me again. A second thing happened. We see a second thing happening. Jesus not only recognizes his true identity, his true relationship, that he is Son of God, and that his Heavenly Father is his true Father. The second thing we see in this is that this young boy at age 12 recognizes that his dad's got things going here on the earth that are important. That's what he said. Don't you understand that I must be about my Father's business? By the way, that's a very good translation. The Greek behind this, and pardon this excursion, but you'll see the point very quickly. The Greek that's translated here, the Father's business, doesn't have the word business. It's not there. And some translations said, know ye not that I must be about my Father's place or Father's temple? Meaning that the translator thought that Jesus was saying to his parents, I'm here in this temple. This is my dad's house. These are the things that matter. But that's not really what Jesus said. According to the best texts that we have, what Jesus said was, don't you know that I must be about my Father's things? The Greek had a way of doing that. It's a plural adjective. And what it means is that there are things that were special to the Father, and those things were now a concern to his son. And the word business captures that. It's far more than the temple building. And it goes beyond the discussion of the law, which Jesus was just engaged in as a 12-year-old with the teachers and rabbis there in the temple. And it goes beyond the sacrificial system which was taking place there in the temple. And it goes beyond the very feast that Jesus had come to Jerusalem to celebrate, the Passover. The things of God, the things that my Father is doing right now in the world. You ever thought about that? See, what Jesus was saying was, my Heavenly Father not only has a plan for me, but my Heavenly Father has a plan for the world. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God was in Christ redeeming the world. And the Bible gives us a great deal of information that reaches far beyond the subject of your personal salvation and my personal salvation, far beyond the issue of our personal destiny in heaven and hell. The Bible tells us about God's plan for Satan and angels and the dirt under our feet and the governments that control and fashion our lives. The Bible tells us that God has a plan for it all, and that everything around us is on a collision course with that will of God. And that, frankly, what doesn't accomplish that will of God will be destroyed. That's what the Bible says. So we could paraphrase Jesus' statement by saying something like this: Mom and Dad, Mary and Joseph, don't you realize that I have a relationship with the Heavenly Father, the Creator, and what He's doing in our world, for our world, is all that matters? Have you ever had that kind of revelation? Think about that. Everything you and I do falls into one of two categories. Either it is advancing what God's business is all about in our world, and that will be rewarded. That has value. That has sustaining value. Or it falls on the side of what is not advancing our Father's business, and that's absolutely wasted.
When you make a decision for Christ, as some call it, you're also being adopted into a family and being employed in the family enterprise. Did you know that? Are we clear about that when we explain the gospel to others? Jim's message is called Investing in the Family Business. To get a CD copy, just request it with your gift of $7 or more. This sermon launches a series called Special Works Jesus Did. It includes 13 talks available together in a CD album for your gift of $45 or more. There's not much time left if you'd like to help us meet our fiscal year-end needs. Please pray about whether you could become part of the Right Start family. The second best thing about helping us is that we won't hound you with spam and junk mail. The best thing, of course, is the promise that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, and it just feels good to help. You can donate securely on the website, rightstartradio.org. There you'll have access to many of Pastor Jim's recorded messages, past radio programs, plus complete sermons without the broadcast edits. And we show you how to subscribe to the daily Right Start podcast on iTunes. It's at rightstartradio.org. Or call us at 1-800-984-2313. That's 800-984-2313. If mail works best for you, no problem. We'll put your gift to work in the coming fiscal year. The address is Right Start, P.O. Box 437, Worthington, Ohio, 43085, USA. Thanks for listening. I'm Dan Pope. We can get pretty turned around on what we're aiming for in life and why. Jim will have some practical suggestions for investing in the family business. That's coming up on the next Right Start.